Dr. Maya.
Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today's show is about measles. Why all the hype? And Dr. Prather, there's just a lot of media attention right now with measles and vaccinations, and why all the hype?
Well, that's a good question. There is an increase, definitely, in the number of measles cases, but of course, measles was pretty low before. The question is you know, are measles going to return? Most of the measles that we were getting in the United States was actually coming from overseas. Measles as coming from a kind of like an endemic within a population. I was born back in 1957, and basically everybody got
You're
the measles.
You're telling your age.
I am. But, you know, back when I was right. a kid, everybody got the measles.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's actually a very rare disease. It doesn't happen very often in the United States.
Well, they said in 1963, there was an estimated 3 to 4 million cases each year.
Right.
And this report is back in 2004, only 37 cases were reported.
Sure. Now, last year, there was about 600 cases of measles. So it was something that, you know, it wasn't completely eradicated. A lot of the measles cases came from people who had gone overseas and come back. But it had gone from an endemic where everybody got it, which I did, to something that most children actually didn't have.
Oh, so you had the measles.
I had the measles, yes. As you do a titer on myself, I am immune to the measles. I had a very mild case. I think I might have been, I had a little fever for one day, and then I was off and running. You know, so it wasn't, as a matter of fact, one of the things that moms would do is they would find out, you know, which kid had the measles, especially if it was during the summer, so you wouldn't miss school. And they would pop you over there. Matter of fact, that's exactly what my mom did. You know, measles is extremely contagious. If you actually
didn't
get...
Didn't take much, huh?
No, if you, you know, you talk about, you know, something that is has a contagion, measles is probably the most contagious virus out there. If you were in a plane with someone who had the measles and they sneezed, basically you had a 90% chance of catching it. If you hadn't caught it before.
That's a high percentage.
That's a very high percentage. But one of the nice things about actually catching the measles is that, you know, once you had it, you know, you were immune for life. And it wasn't really that big of a deal. But, you know, now people are concerned because, you know, of the possibility of the return of it after it had been worked out. So... it's, you know, we've had about, within a month, about 100 different cases going on. There are about, I think, about 120 at this point. So if that would continue, then that would be a definite increase, and it's something that can spread very quickly.
Is that the hype then? There's been...
Yeah, I mean, it's a hype that measles might return, you know, as a endemic type of a situation again, and... you know, it's actually a worthy debate. Is that something that we should be concerned about?
Okay. So what causes measles?
Well, the measles are actually called, are caused by a virus called a morbillivirus. And it is a, actually a shift from a, the information is it was actually caught from cattle. So one of the big things that happens is a transfer from an animal to a human. It's a very common route of a lot of the infections that people actually have. And it probably, from all the information that they had can gather, is that the present-day measles actually started in about the 11th century.
So from animal to human.
animal to human, usually from close contact. Matter of fact, that's one of the big things that people are concerned about, you know, what they call the bird flu. Because almost all the flus actually came from birds. Matter of fact, all flu viruses actually did. So, you know, as it introduces into a population, then it can become actually a major problem.
It'd be interesting why the 11th century.
I don't know.
Okay. I found something you don't know.
Yeah.
That's very rare. How does measles spread?
Well, a cough or a sneeze, and, you know, if you're in the back of a plane, and in just a few minutes, the virus is probably up there to the front. So it's just being in proximity of someone with the virus and they cough or sneeze at that point, the person's usually probably going to get it.
So how long does it take to show signs of measles, you know, after you've been
exposed? Yeah, it takes about 10 to 12 days from exposure to actually getting the measles, you know, the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Usually starts out with a fever. And then, of course, you have the classic rash that lasts usually about 14 days. And about 2 to 3 days after the fever begins is the classic type of symptoms of the measles.
You know, I can't remember if I've had the measles or not. I need to find out.
We can actually do a blood test on you. That's one of the nice things. So the people who are actually concerned about that, it's actually easy to see if you actually have the measles or not by doing a blood test.
And isn't that some of the concern, too, because you don't know right away until that rash appears?
Yeah.
So you've been contagious.
You've been contagious, actually. Once you've caught the measles after about 4 days, you start to become contagious. So, you know, it's easy to spread without actually being aware that you shouldn't be around others. You know, so that's a big problem. And one, of course, the big concerns is if you actually catch the measles, you're immune for life. If you have the vaccination, and that's your route of actually getting the immunization, you know, getting the immunity, it actually doesn't last for life.
So you're not immune to it.
You're not actually immune to it. And that's one of the concerns. Is that there's a large population, and most people actually caught the measles as children, you know, way back when. Measles has a different, you know, if you are older, just catching the measles at that point is actually a lot more serious. So, you know, measles...
Anything that you catch when you get older.
Right, what they call the childhood diseases, you know, to build up your immune system. You know, that is sort of when that is supposed to occur. You know, for populations that never had the measles, it was devastating. In Cuba, when measles actually first arrived in the indigenous population back in the 1500s, it killed about two-thirds of the islanders. One of the things that is that, you know, why it's a childhood disease is because, you know, and it's not really that big of a deal, is one, there's an inherited immunity because your ancestors had it, but also when you nursed, your mom actually gives you immunoglobulins to handle certain infections. So my mom had the measles. So when I caught the measles, she actually transferred the immunity to me through mother's milk, and it wasn't any big deal for populations who had never been exposed to it, so they didn't have the genetic makeup to resist the disease. Our mom couldn't actually transfer the immune system through the mother's milk. It was a very, very deadly disease. So, you know, with the vaccinations, we've changed the whole picture of how this disease is actually going to work. And it's brought up some interesting scenarios that we're really not quite sure how that would play out. So, you know, there is some concern as a healthcare professional on, you know, what is this going to mean for if measles does start to spread again, you know, the people who are younger, who were dependent upon vaccinations for their for their not catching the measles, you know, how is that actually going to now play out in the disease if they actually
catch it? Since they're not immune to them.
Right. This is a whole new type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Unlike someone like you who was exposed to them as a child.
Caught it.
Had a mild case. You're immune now.
Right.
You don't have to worry about it in your adult life.
Correct.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, what are some of the symptoms of measles?
Well, measles start out more like any type of upper respiratory type of infection. You get the runny nose, you get the cough, there's a lack of appetite. Pink eye actually will occur. And then you've got the rash that goes from head to toe, which is kind of the classic sign of the measles. And I remember that. And I had it, but I had it actually, usually it's about 5 to 6 days, and I think I had the rash for a day, maybe 2 days, and the fever only one day. And my mom giving me an oatmeal bath. Mm-hmm. That was sort of the classic type of thing that you did when you had the measles, so you know, you wouldn't be scratching and everything like that. And so it's a pretty classic type of a symptomatology. There are the viruses that can actually imitate that. So one of the things to do is to make sure that if you have that you get a good blood test and see if that's actually what's occurring.
And it's interesting, the rash usually begins at the hairline, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Starts up there in the face and then kind of moves down the body.
Sure. Some of the rashes actually start on the stomach. Some actually start on the feet. So where the rash actually starts is one of the differential diagnoses that can actually make a difference.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about the possible complications from measles. You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Meridian Health and Wellness. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness. Dr. Prather, what is ECP therapy?
ECP stands for External Counterpulsation Therapy. And just to put it into a nutshell, ECP is an aerobic exercise machine. Now, you sit there and say, well, why do you need an aerobic exercise machine? It is the number one treatment for cardiovascular disease. If you look at the research and want to find out, well, how do I fix my cardiovascular disease, you know, whatever it might be, always within the scientific literature, aerobic exercise is one of the most proven, most effective means of reversing cardiovascular disease. So, but the problem is I have people who I sit there and I look at them and I say, well, you know, what do I do about this problem that I have, doc? And I said, well, go out and run 5 miles, you know, every day. And of course, they all laugh because it took every effort that they had from going to the waiting room into the exam room.
Right.
And they're out of breath. So that didn't work. So what was actually done was develop a machine that actually simulates the effects on the body of aerobic exercise, and that's where ECP comes in. And what occurs with ECP is that there's actually a second heart kind of put into the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the outside, but as the heart goes into relaxation, that's when it actually gets its blood. So what we do is we actually have blood pressure cuffs around the legs. It presses on the legs, and we get a huge amount of blood that goes back up to the heart. And the heart is very regenerative, and you get about 10 times as much oxygen with this particular type of treatment than what you normally would. And you get a regeneration of the heart. You also get a cleaning out of the arteries. And you actually get a huge amount of changes in the whole physiology of the body. So all the benefits of aerobic exercise are actually found in ECP, which are absolutely the number one way that you can be able to reverse cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and many other problems.
Meridian Health and Wellness is currently accepting new patients for ECP therapy. To find out if ECP therapy is right for you, call our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
I feel good. I knew that I would not.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Well, today we're talking about measles. Why all the hype, you know, in the media? And Dr. Prather, you know, why there has been a slight increase in measles, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if slight's the right term. But why has there suddenly been an increase?
Well, that's one of the big questions that, you know, people are asking. And one of the things is that there is a lot of people who are no longer doing vaccinations. As a matter of fact, in some counties in California, it's over 50% of the children aren't being vaccinated now. Interestingly enough, the people who aren't vaccinating are the wealthier.
Mm-hmm.
More educated people are opting out of vaccinations. So there is much to the chagrin of the Center of Disease Control and you know, the other people, you know, that they're actually lamenting, is that there's a feeling that we're being irresponsible in not vaccinating our children.
Mm.
And that the lack of vaccination is actually the cause of the new measles outbreak. However, you know, it would be interesting to know how many of them had actually been vaccinated and how many hadn't. There were a certain percentage of the children, or the, you know, the people and children who actually caught measles, who were vaccinated, because vaccination is not 100%.
Mm. So they still got the measles after being vaccinated.
Yes, you can actually get the measles after vaccination. The figures actually vary on what the percentage is. I don't think that there's actually been a long-term type of study on that. One of the things that can be done is as you are actually thinking about, is this something that's, if you're really concerned about the risk for your child, you know, if they say that you've been vaccinated, so, you know, there's no chance of actually getting it, isn't true. You can actually do a blood test and find out if you do have the immunity on that. And again, one of the things that they did with the MMR vaccination, which actually carries the measles vaccination, is that they did two vaccinations now at this time. So you would actually get one at 1 year, and then you would wait and then actually get another one later on, just to make sure that you actually have the immunity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a double shot on that, so it increases your chances of getting the immune. So they went from a one vaccine to a two vaccine because of the rate of problems,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was showing up on how many people weren't actually immune to it. Also, one of the things that they did is that they actually had the reason that they went to two is they actually had the first shot much, much stronger than it used to be, a higher number of viruses. And so one of the things to cut down on the number of reactions to vaccinations is they actually went and made it less potent.
Oh, okay.
And decided to go to two instead of one.
So they're less potent, each one.
Yeah, so they actually decrease the potency.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I know we're going to come back to vaccinations and talk more about that, because
yeah.
that seems to be the root of this hype.
This is really what we're talking about the measles, but, you know, I don't really think it's the measles that we're really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the measles is sort of a route along those lines, but really what the hype is all about is the number of people who are deciding not to vaccinate.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something? The debate is no longer mainly about the measles, but about whether there should be a requirement to, you know, making people vaccinate. Because, again, you're getting the educated people who are deciding not to.
Mm-hmm. And we decided before we had children that we wouldn't vaccinate our children. That's, you came from that background.
Sure.
In your family. And
yeah, my grandfather was a chiropractor, and my mother wasn't vaccinated, and I wasn't vaccinated. And as we went into it, that was one of the things that we looked at. You know, is vaccination something that we would choose for our own family?
Mm-hmm.
And we decided not to after looking at all this. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions is, should we be able to have that choice or not?
Mm-hmm. I think choice is good.
You know, it is awfully nice to have the choice. And, of course, one of the things is, you know, in anything that you're talking about, you're weighing different types of risks and benefits. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really where the idea is coming from. You know, how much of a risk is my child for the childhood diseases? Now, you know, I went through them without a hitch.
Mm-hmm. Our kids have gone through them without a hitch.
Our kids went through without, you know, actually any type of issues whatsoever. You know, is this something that, you know, are the benefits actually outweighing the risk? And one of the things that you're talking about, of course, as you talk about this, the big giant in the room,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of sitting there is autism.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is back in the 1930s, autism wasn't even, you know, hardly discussed. In the 1940s, there was only 11 cases documented in the world on autism.
Wow, in the world.
You know, that were mm-hmm. actually documented, both in Europe and the United States were the main places that they were looking at. Back in 1980, there was only one in 10,000 children that had autism. The rate of it at this point is one in 50.
One in 50.
So we went from one in 10,000 to one in 50.
Mm-hmm.
And autism is a very, I mean, you know, that's an extremely serious type of disease,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're looking at. And this isn't, you know, as you talk about the autism, you know, I've heard different arguments. Well, we're just recognizing it better. And all of that, you know, is just absolutely hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, autism, they've actually narrowed the rightly so, they've narrowed the criteria on what actually autism is. So it's not, it doesn't have quite as broad of a coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So autism has gone from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 50, which is, you know, as we're talking about being alarmed
mm-hmm.
about something, you know, we had these cases of the measles and nobody died.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, there weren't any serious side effects. You know, in other words, there wasn't...
In this increase.
In this increase, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking about damage, any type of damage to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking at pre-vaccination deaths, you had 2 to 3 million kids coming down with the measles a year. There were 450 deaths in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's a 0.0023%. 7%.
You just do that in your head.
So, you know, that's a very small number of deaths. And as you research those were immune compromised children, children who were very, you know, malnourished.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, one of the ways, you know, that that measles is actually very well treated is cod liver oil.
Mm.
They have vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, especially the large amounts of vitamin A.
Cod liver oil used to be part of the meal, you know, at the end of your meal.
Right.
For a lot of families.
Yeah. One thing that was very, very popular, and actually we encourage everyone in our office, you know, as if you have a child, you should have some cod liver oil on hand to give them if they get sick. any type of a virus. And it cod liver oil has an amazing effect on the measles, on shortening and reducing the, you know, the how long it lasts and how deadly, you know, I mean, how much of an infection, how much of a fever. Just give them cod liver oil and it really starts to move it. Matter of fact, vitamin A is huge on actually getting the measles under control.
I know, and that they have orange flavored and mint flavored cod liver oil.
And you got them in capsules.
We carry them in capsules.
Yeah, that's even better. You know,
you
so you don't even
smell
have it.
Yeah. I know, because I've taken it.
So, yes, I mean, the measles, if you are immune compromised, one of the main ways that measles became a problem is the development of pneumonia.
Yeah, some of the
secondary bacterial infections. Yeah, mm-hmm. If you're talking about the complications along those lines, you know, there was a lot of secondary types of things that could occur. You know, you had the air infections that could occur, and that's an immune compromise. In other words, you have the virus and bacterial infections set in are the main things that can happen. You can get diarrhea, which is usually as a result of being immune compromised. So, you know, those things can actually occur, and most of them occur actually in younger kids and in older people. One, as you get older, your immune system drops, and when you're young, your immune system isn't really developed, especially if you weren't breastfed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're breastfed, your chances of developing complications of the measles actually increase exponentially.
That's why breastfeeding is so important.
Yes.
In every way.
Sure. You know, but one of the complications of vaccinations is childhood asthma. Mm. And the complications of childhood asthma resulting in death is 5,000 a year.
Mm.
So, you know, that's just one aspect of a possibility that vaccinations are actually causing an issue, because there's a very strong correlation to vaccinating and not vaccinating and the asthma rate of children.
Oh, yeah.
So
it just seems like it's increased.
Right. So, you know, it's, again, trying to look at this in a reasonable type of way. Yes, there are complications of measles. Is that something that can actually be worked on, though?
Okay. When we come back, more measles. Why all the hype?
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
One trainer put me on the no-carb, the Atkins. They said after a week you won't have any carb cravings. I felt lied to. I had cravings. When you drive by a bakery and you jump out of a moving vehicle, that's a craving. I had hallucinations. I thought Dr. Phil was on my front lawn. John, come out here and exercise. You can't be big if your lifestyle won't allow it. Get off my lawn! Unless you have donuts. Every time the doorbell rang, I thought it was pizza. Come to save me.
Healthy Lifestyles from Meridian Health and Wellness is a natural weight loss program with a proven record of success. Healthy Lifestyles is an individualized program that is tailored to each patient's needs. Healthy Lifestyles is not a trendy diet. The program actually resets your body's metabolism for optimal fat burning. The Healthy Lifestyles program includes concentrated vitamins and minerals that help you to burn fat and feel more energetic. Healthy Lifestyles provides support from a counselor and an exercise physiologist in order to maximize your results and help create new healthy habits in your life. The program even helped our own Dr. Prather to lose 24 pounds and shed 4 inches from his waist in just 12 days. Map out your weight loss plan with a Healthy Lifestyles counselor at Meridian Health and Wellness. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or on the web at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
Doctor, can't you see I'm burning?
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness. Today we're talking about measles. Why all the hype? And Dr. Prather, you said the measles can be diagnosed by a combination of patient symptoms.
Sure.
And through lab work, correct?
Right. Once you establish the symptomatology, it is best to do the lab test. As a matter of fact, it should be required because that is something that should be documented. And if you do have the measles, definitely you know you need to be quarantined so that you don't spread it because, you know, the people could be at risk for that. So it is something that should be followed.
That means you just get to stay home, watch TV.
You get to stay home, right.
Have oatmeal baths. Well, let's talk about treatment. Is there treatment for measles?
Well, if someone actually does have the measles, there are, medically, there are some antibodies to the measles that, you know, that you can actually get an injection on, but basically medically they don't have a treatment. But as I say, vitamin A is absolutely wonderful for shortening the measles. The best way to take that is the cod liver oil. But also we use homeopathy. Homeopathy is absolutely amazing on stimulating the immune system and getting a change in all sorts of infections. So there are ways to stimulate in a functional medicine office to combat the measles. So, you know, if that's one of the benefits, you know, we had talked about antibiotics, you know, is antibiotics going to be gone? You know, and coming up with new ways of approaching a disease, which are actually old ways.
Yeah,
but not
in the old ways back.
Not in the common vernacular of the present time, is that these things can be treated, and one of the ways that you can treat that is not by going after the virus itself, but increasing the immune strength of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Again, measles for a healthy individual who has been. You know, had all the breastfeeding, who have a good nutritional diet, are healthy, are not immune compromised. Measles is no big deal. However, there are a lot of people who are immune compromised, and measles is a very big deal for them.
Right. So, they say, you know, measles is more severe in malnourished children, particularly those with vitamin A deficiencies.
Sure, and you know, this brings up a very definite point. You know, how much do we, you know, and the people who are actually for vaccinations bring up a very good point. You know, we, you know, taking care of the people who are weakest within society, and they have the whole idea of the herd immunity. But is this something that is something that we are actually setting ourselves up for a disaster?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we take away our ability to fight the virus on a generational type of basis, because mom and dad had it, you know, one, I get the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a vaccination, the immunity, there's a very good chance that that immunity will not pass on to the next generation.
Mm.
And then
I think that's happening.
That is a concern if you're talking about long term, and you look at when the measles then would be introduced, and if it shifts genetically, if there's any types of changes, you know, and it did actually get into the population, what would actually happen? So there's a lot of questions, you know, and there are. Are definite arguments on both sides. And one of the things that's really interesting is just the passion that this actually brings up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people feel, it's like talking about religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
We have a real divide in this country on vaccinations. About 67% of the people in the United States actually feel that immunization should be a legal requirement.
How many people?
67%. 33% said no.
So that means we shouldn't have a choice.
Yeah, they're actually not wanting people to have a choice, where 33% of the people say, you know, this is very serious. And people who have autistic children, we actually treat it an awful lot within our office, are very adamant that there was a difference in their child immediately after the vaccination. And there's no way that you can convince them that the vaccination wasn't the cause. Of the damage, and these people are extremely, extremely upset, and feel like they've been lied to, you know, on the safety of vaccinations. And you're talking about 1 in 50. I mean, this is something that is a pandemic. It's crazy, and there has to be some type of a reason. Matter of fact, they have said that it is toxins in the environment. Now, whether the vaccinations are actually a part of that, vaccinations are, by their very definition, a toxin that's introduced, and at very critical times in one's life. So, you know, there's a lot of evidence that, that I have been able to read and see. The scientific community, the established scientific community, has said that they've completely debunked it. I have actually read the research on both sides. My personal opinion, reading the information, is that the link is pretty well established. You know, that goes against the grain of the established scientific community, but the people, you know, the people who are actually doing this are the ones who are making the vaccinations and requiring you that you get it. So my feeling and my confidence in these individuals is very, very low.
And I know you've done extensive research. There's been research published.
There has been research published. They have discredited the information, but I've heard the people who did the research in their lectures, and heard the people who then went in and discredited the research, and you know, listening to it, I was on the research seemed to be much more valid on the ones that were actually saying that there was a very strong link with the vaccination. And you know, I definitely stand by that. The science was much more sound. The reasoning, but you're talking about a very large, very powerful type of a system that actually has governmental backing. That says that the vaccinations are completely safe, and which is ridiculous. I mean, everybody knows that. You know, if you inject something like that into the system, then there's no way that it can always be safe. And yes, they have acknowledged that the extent of the changes that actually occurred with the vaccination are definitely an issue. Now, the idea of vaccinations, I actually don't have any problem with.
Right, but like you said, we have homeopathics.
We have homeopathics. There are other ways of approaching this. And, you know, it's whether we're going to go with a disease model and how effective it is, or are we going to go with a structure function model? And it is an emotional debate. For those who are healthy, the structural functional model provides much more safety, a much better outcome. For those who are nutritionally malnourished, who aren't healthy, you know, is the disease model something that's more beneficial? So I can see some arguments on both sides. What is the answer? We've made some personal choices along those lines. As a community, what are those choices that actually need to be made? You know, it's something that's open to debate.
Yeah, and right now you can get a religious exemption, you know, from getting your child vaccinated. I know we would have to write a letter every year that the school would have on file.
Sure. Now, of course, when we our children went overseas, they did get certain vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but we just and we knew at a certain age when we felt their immune system was nice and strong. Yes, yeah. When my daughter and I went over to Africa, we did get the ones that were, required.
Of course.
And that we had to get, but. You know, at that time, her immune system was strong and matured.
And that's one of the things that, you know, on an individual basis, everyone should have good, solid blood work, be able to check and see what your immune system is. So one of the things that we recommend for everyone is that they get a good, solid blood test, hair analysis, and a diagnosis of the bowels, because the bowels is huge for the immune system. Matter of fact, the recent research from the National Institute of Health is that 80% of your immune system actually comes from the gut. So, you know, how excellent those things are standard types of things that everybody should be having done once a year, and trying to improve your immune system is something that no one can really argue with.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so often it seems, you know, that people's immune system these days are just so compromised.
Sure.
You know. So, well, when we come back, more about measles and why all the hype.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness. Dr. Prather, there was a major study by an insurance company that focused on the healthcare model you use in your office. What were the results of that study?
It actually was quite a seismic finding. I like that term.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It's a Chicago-based health maintenance organization. The group has 600,000 enrolled members. So they took about 10,000 of those and put them in with chiropractors who are trained in the structure function model. Mm. Now, not all chiropractors are trained in the structure function model. These gentlemen actually got the same type of training that I had.
Okay.
And they were the primary care physicians. After 5 years, they had startling results. They had a reduction of 60.2% in hospital admissions.
Wow.
They had 59% reduction in hospital days. They had a 62% reduction in outpatient surgeries and procedures. And a remarkable 85% reduction in pharmaceutical costs.
Wow.
This resulted in a total savings in the first 5 years of 40% over all the other primary care physicians.
40%.
40% reduction. If you can imagine that we could reduce our healthcare costs across the board by 40%.
And get those kind of results.
And there were 80% less reactions. There was a reduction in lawsuits. There was a reduction in everything. Plus, the people were much, much healthier and much more satisfied. The interesting thing is that the specialists, the cardiologist, the oncologist, the gastroenterologist, all the specialists, as they were asked to rate the difference in the two different models. They gave the structure function model as the primary care coming in a 96% satisfaction rating. And they gave the disease model as primary care a 40%. The results are indisputable.
Schedule your appointment at Meridian Health and Wellness by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Meridian Health and Wellness, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. We are back with measles, why all the hype? And Dr. Prather, we were talking about vaccinations and you feeling that that is really what the issue is about, not per se measles, although there's been an increase.
Right.
And people believe it's because less people or more people are not
choosing to actually get the vaccination. A lot of people are taking exemptions, and that number is rising, and it's actually rising mostly among the more educated people.
Mm-hmm.
The higher your education, the less likely you are to get your child vaccinated.
So the debate is, do they take away that exemption, right?
Right. Is that something that, as a society, that one, we should or have the right to not to allow people to make that choice?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, and that's the big question. And the media has come out very strongly and very forcefully in favor of those who are going to try to take away the right of people to make that choice. And one of the things is that there have been some presidential candidates who have actually said that that shouldn't be. Chris Christie, Paul Rand, both have come out and said that they don't agree with that statement. Now, they themselves had their children vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they're actually against vaccinations. What they're against is the government being able to tell you on what you can do and what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially something as personal as a vaccination, and you actually then have the right to determine someone's health, you know, their health choices,
mm-hmm.
Even if there is a negative effect on that. You know, there is some compelling reasons on why some people wouldn't want to have that done. So you know, it's something that is poignant. Has very strong implications. You know, what if, you know, how much do we have the right to tell people when what to do? You know, type 2 diabetes causes a lot more types of death. Do we have the right to then tell people how?
And that's usually from people's choices, right?
Yeah, I mean, to lose weight, you know, that they're creating an issue on that. You know, is this something that if you are sick, if you have, you know, I mean, you spread diseases more, you
mm-hmm.
know, so, you know, they say, well, you know, you're affecting me. Well, if you're actually sicker than what you should be, your chances of actually getting diseases actually become higher. You know,
mm-hmm.
where do we actually draw the line becomes the question.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a very important, and it's actually one of the things is that the people who are pro vaccination says when the two presidential candidates came out and said, you know, we're actually for people's choice. They said, well, we shouldn't politicize that, but we're going to require the government and all politicians to say that you're for vaccinations. So as long as you're coming out for vaccinations, then that's not politicizing it. If you are coming out and saying that you are against vaccinations, well, you're politicizing it. It should be the scientists who decide. Because President Obama came out and was lauded for saying, no, you have to have vaccinations, that there really shouldn't be any exemptions. And he wasn't politicizing it because he was saying the thing that they wanted to hear. If someone came out and said, no, I vaccinated my own children, but, you know, I encourage people to vaccinate, but, you know, that really should become someone's choice. You know, because there's a lot of people who have very strong feelings and really have a doubt on the validity of that for their child.
And some it's more than feelings. You know,
they've experienced it.
Experienced it or researched it, like us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, there are several parents that I know that, you know, said, well, I didn't vaccinate my other two children because my first child is autistic. Mm-hmm. And I saw it with the, so, you know, you are going to vaccinate my child over my dead body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they feel very, very strongly with it, with I feel, a very, very good reason. You know, should people, and it was the hypocrisy in the media on that type of thing was just so blatant, how anybody could actually buy, you know, those types of comments is, mm-hmm. is,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if there's allowed to be a debate on one side, there should be allowed to be a debate on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we look at that, is that something that should be required, or is that something that is actually free choice? And that's really what the debate comes down to.
Right. This is what it's all about.
That's really where it's not the measles. The measles is actually a very small number. Nobody's dying from it. It is something that could become endemic again. Again, you know, if you talk about you know, the number, you're more likely of committing suicide by four times than dying from the measles, even when it was active.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's about whether we should be able to require vaccinations or not.
Okay.
Is really what it's come down to.
Well, let's talk about those that choose to vaccinate the MMR vaccine. Who should not receive it?
Well, if you have autoimmune diseases, if you're pregnant, the pregnancy might terminate with the vaccination. If you have any type of a immune compromise, you shouldn't actually get the vaccination because your chances of having adverse reactions are extremely high. So having it checked out, if you also have egg allergies, because the virus is actually grown in eggs. Mm. So, you know, any types of situations along those lines, you should not have the vaccination. As a matter of fact, that was one of the arguments that they brought up in the news, is that there are children who are immune compromised and don't feel safe going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they were wanting all the other children to make sure that they were vaccinated, you know, requiring that, so that their child could go, which is a compelling argument.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something to be aware of and know when and know when not to actually get the vaccination. So you should consult your doctor and give a thorough history before you go in and get your vaccination.
Okay, well, let's go back to treatment. You said medically there's really no treatment for the measles. We talked about homeopathy.
Sure.
We have a lot of parents that, you know, we give them the information, they decide, and they might decide to vaccinate, and they bring their children in before the vaccination and after. Would you like to talk about that with our remaining time, Dr. Prather?
Absolutely. We have different types of products. We have a pre-vaccination, homeopathic. We also do some herbals beforehand. And then we also treat immediately afterwards. I had a woman who felt that she was really, well, I've actually had several, that felt that they were required, you know, to do the vaccination, and it was, they were in situations that they really had to,
mm-hmm.
even though their child had actually had a reaction the first time that they had the vaccination.
Hmm.
So there was a lot of concern. I think of one woman especially who the child immediately after the vaccination, the whole night screamed, you know, very, very scary. She tried to get an exemption the next time when the next vaccination was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, well, there was no permanent damage. Yes, your child screamed, had a rash, had fever. But, you know, that can be expected. That was not really reassuring.
What she wanted to hear.
Yeah, that was not reassuring to her.
No, there wasn't any permanent damage.
There was no permanent damage. So she brought her in. She brought the boy in to me. I said, well, you know, we can actually work with this. You know, which vaccinations are you doing? We made up some homeopathics, did some herbals, and the child got the vaccination. We saw him immediately afterwards. She said he was a little bit moody, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a totally different type of reaction, and oftentimes the second time is much, much worse, you know, mm-hmm. than the first time. So she was, the doctor was actually expecting the child to go through the same thing, and there was absolutely no problem. So for those who are, you know, going through with the vaccinations, there are ways to work it out. Before you guys actually had your vaccination, I gave you things to take,
mm-hmm.
and you had absolutely no problems with them.
Yeah.
You know, where the, even the normal types of things.
Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. We need to end, unfortunately. Very good show. Thank you again, Dr. Prather. Meridian Health and Wellness is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.